Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
How was your weekend? Good morning to you. I'm Andy. It's 9:09 on KDXU. I hope you got some pool time in or something that involved with liquid because it was blazing hot all over the state of Utah. Got a couple of cool guests on today. Coming up in about 20 minutes, Brent Hall will join me on the air. We'll talk Republican Party. And right now, Jason Chaffetz is with me via the telephone. Jason, a former U.S. congressman. How you doing, Jason?
Hey, Andy, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
I heard you're hosting a radio show today?
Yeah, so, you know, I have this gig with Fox News, and they also have Fox News Radio. So I'm guest hosting for Jimmy Failla for 3 hours this afternoon.
Wow.
And then I'll also be on The Story with Martha McCallum. That's about 1:45 Utah time, so it's pretty fun.
Dude, yeah. You're a rock star, man. That's awesome.
I can't believe they pay me to do it.
All this from a former kicker. I don't know, man. It's amazing. I wish I'd have kicked.
Well, there's a future for kickers. It's usually not football. So,
I don't know if you know Coach Greg Croshaw. He used to coach Dixie College down here, the legendary coach down here. But he said, yeah, we got all these big guys and they're blooding and sweat and tear and snot and everything. And then come to the end of the game, some dude with a name you can't pronounce comes on to decide whether we win or lose.
Yeah, that name would be Chaffetz.
Yeah.
You know, I did that at BYU for a couple of years. And I like to remind people in Utah that we never lost a game by the margin of my missed kicks.
That's important.
The only way you could stay in Utah and run for Congress.
Yes, it was never your fault. That's good. While you were there, they didn't lose a lot of games anyway, right? You did pretty
well.
Good,
yeah, this is, I mean, you got to be a little bit older to even remember this. I know a lot of your listeners probably aren't even that old, but yeah, these were the early Ty Detmer years. So we were good, and B, we scored a lot of touchdowns.
Yeah.
Which means as a kicker, I'm kicking a lot of extra points. When I left, I had 5 school records. They were all extra point records, which, quite frankly, is more of a testament to the quarterback than it is the kicker.
I always wondered this, Jason, as a kicker. When a coach decides to go for it on fourth down, when you're clearly in field goal range or maybe right on the edge of your range, do you take that personally? Is that the kind of thing you're like, man, coach, I could have guaranteed you 3 points? And, I mean, what's the psychology of that?
Lavelle Edwards is the head coach. We got in a rhythm. When I first started, he would kind of talk to me and ask me. He's like, are you going to make it? Are you, you know, how are you feeling? And it got to be that, you know, through the 2 years where I was the starter, where I'd look down, we'd be, you know, 10, 15, 20 yards apart maybe. And he'd start, on third down, he'd start looking for me. And he kind of got the sense of where I was at. And he'd look at me like, what are you thinking? And I'd give him the thumbs up, like, hey, no problem. Once we played at Navy, and it was pouring rain, and it was getting near halftime, and it was pretty far. And he asked me, he said, what do you think? And I said, I don't know, coach. You know, it's just so wet. I can't get my plant foot down. He decided to kick it, and sure enough, I fell right on my butt. The ball went, like, 20 yards and plopped down. And he was so mad at himself. He said, you told me I should have listened to you. That is 100% my fault. I was a special relationship. He was a great coach.
Yeah, great coach, great man. Lived down here for a little while after he had retired. And I was lucky enough to have him on my show a couple of different times. And
well, I'm surprised he carved out time away from the golf course to join you, but I'm glad he did.
Yeah, he did. I lived in a neighborhood with Lavelle Edwards and Liddell Anderson. We're in that same neighborhood that I was in. And so I was like the BYU Legends neighborhood. So that was
and you like talking sports, so yeah, look out, guys.
I do. This is not a sports show. This is a show about other stuff, politics being one of those. And that's an area where you have spent your postgraduate years, a lot of them, and including 10 years or I guess 9 years as a congressperson, and in 2009, I guess, is when you got going out to 2017. How was that experience, and what are some things that you took away from that? You just kind of like, yeah, I would never have known that if I hadn't served.
Well, it was, a huge honor to serve, right? It's very few people get to do it, and I did. And it was to be in the belly of the beast and fight the good fight. And it was great. But your life gets out of balance. If you love your wife and adore your kids like I do, it's just, it's hard. You know, I was chairman of the oversight committee, and they got to be a point where I was home 4 or 5 days a month.
Wow.
And that's just, you know, get in, serve, and get your butt out of there and go do something else. I think that's what the framers envisioned. And, you know, that's what worked for me. I may dip my toe back in and run for something else, but probably more locally than having to, you know, be on an airplane and away from the family all the time. So, things I learned, it's real people making real decisions, and you better elect the right person who's based on principle, because you can talk about one specific issue all the time, but you never quite know through the years what that person's going to be dealt with, having to deal with. And, you know, you get somebody who's principled in their approach, and they're going to have to deal with it. For me personally, I love the oversight because there was always somebody doing something stupid somewhere. And,
you know,
when almost 25% of our gross domestic product is being spent by the federal government, it's our taxpayer dollars. And I took that very personally. And it's incredibly frustrating to see the waste, fraud, and abuse.
So you talk about people doing stupid. Are there people that are not doing things stupid, but doing things evil? People that choose, that are purposely, is this a common thing? We always hear people say, oh, the evil this and the evil that. Are there people that really act, are bad actors?
Yeah, I think so. Look, the overwhelming majority of them they're good, patriotic people. They're just doing their job. But when you have $4 plus trillion, 2.5 million federal employees, like I said, there's somebody who's there taking advantage of the system. You see it in Medicaid, Medicare. You see it with Social Security fraud. There's all kinds of things. And then you add on top of that, you know, we've got 10 to 20 million people that are here illegally. Yeah, there's a lot of people taking advantage of the system. And it's what's always forgotten is the people are trying to do it legally and lawfully. Like the people that are trying to come in our country legally and lawfully, those are the ones that that we should be prioritizing. And then if you're an American citizen minding your own business, you always seem to be at the brunt of the consequence of a lot of bad stuff.
Yeah.
And that's what's just fundamentally wrong.
We get sometimes in Utah a little complacent about the election because Utah is a very red state. Utah is very conservative. And I know people personally who say, yeah, what's the point of voting? It's just going to be, you know, the Republican is going to win. It's, you know, and there's no reason to even really spend the time and effort. What are your thoughts on that, Jason?
You know, that's just not who we are as a country. I mean, our republic, we're not a true democracy, right? We're a republic.
Yeah.
You want everybody to participate. And so I think it was the Heritage Foundation, of which I do work for. They documented more than 700 times where elections ended up being a tie.
Wow.
So don't think, you know, maybe a small race, maybe a big race, but too many of them are really, really tight. And again, it may not be a big Senate race where the numbers are so big, but you know what? I think you're doing your civic duty and obligation. The country is run by those people who show up. So if you're just going to abdicate and just give it to somebody else and say, hey, you go figure it out, then, you know, that's your right, but makes it a little more difficult to complain.
Do you have thoughts on mail-in voting versus in-person voting and voter fraud and those types of things? I know there are still people to this day who say, look, mail-in voting is too open to tinkering or tampering.
Oh, I hate it. I hate early voting. Look, there are certain exemptions, right? People in the military, maybe missionaries that are serving overseas. There are people that are, in assisted living centers. There are some exceptions. But I don't buy this whole idea that we need to make it cheaper or more convenient. I think the chain of custody of those ballots is imperative. I think the integrity of the vote far outweighs any idea that, oh, well, look how many more people voted. You know what, folks? We can take 2 days. Maybe we, instead of just a Tuesday, maybe we make it like a Friday, Saturday or something, whatever you want to do. But you should have to show up in person. You should have to show an identification, and you should go into that booth by yourself and make a decision. And I think the influences that happen outside of that are they're just fundamentally wrong. It really bothers me. And I see it across the country, and I'm tired of these people say, oh, there's no evidence that it, yes, there is. There's plenty of evidence. And it just makes logical sense that if you don't follow and have the integrity of the ballot, you know, controlled at all times, that there's ripe for potential fraud. And it is a big issue. I tell you, I talk to people all over the country, certainly all over Utah, and most people that I've, you know, that are coming out to meetings, I'm telling you, people, if you really think it through, it's just fundamentally wrong.
In Washington County, of course, it's a primary day tomorrow. If you want to vote in person in Washington County, there's one location, Dixie Convention Center. If you live in Enterprise or you live out, you know, in Leverkin or you live in New Harmony and you forgot, quote unquote, forgot to mail in your ballot, there's just one spot in the entire county where you can actually come and vote in person. And that actually surprises me a little bit, Jason, because that makes it extremely difficult, you know, if I live somewhere out to get there and actually vote in person. They're basically encouraging you to not vote in person.
Well, look, it is more expensive to vote in person. Mm-hmm. But I think it's worth every penny of it. I think the integrity of the vote far outweighs. And look, we're getting to be a bigger state. We're spending billions upon billions of dollars. You know, and I just think you're going to have to help the counties from the state to fund these types of activities or just budget them at the beginning. And so, you know, this is a long-term something that needs to be addressed at the state with our state legislature. And we should be leading the way in Utah, not just following what everybody else does, saying, oh, it's just in the mail. Look how easy it is.
Yeah.
That shouldn't be our goal. Our goal should be the integrity of the vote.
Of course, the big vote, biggest vote is in November with Biden versus Trump. They're set to debate this Thursday night. I conjectured, and maybe I'm wrong. You can correct me if I'm wrong on this, Jason, but I think it's possible, you know, Trump comes on so strong that Biden may play the victim in this. Americans tend to start feeling sorry when they see somebody being picked on a little bit. I think the conservatives, especially the, you know, Trump Republicans, need to understand that there might be some backlash if Biden looks as helpless as he seems.
Yeah. You know, this is the precarious moment for both of them.
Yeah.
Look, they've both been around the block. They've both been the president for nearly 4 years. Joe Biden got to Washington, D.C. in 1972,
Jeez.
So he doesn't really have an excuse as to why he might not do well. Look, this is what I love. I do appreciate that both of them agreed to do this early, before the voting has started. That's another thing with early voting. Oftentimes, we should all vote at the same time with the same information.
Yeah.
You know, in the Pennsylvania case, they started, you know, with John Fetterman. They had debate weeks after voting started. There were something like 700,000 people that had already voted. So, look, both are walking a tightrope. It's all about the television audience. You're talking directly to the American people. And this CNN debate, I think, is going to be it's a good one. It's healthy for the country. And I'm surprised it's happening. I read or heard today that the Biden has 16 debate preppers up there with him in,
wow,
in at Camp David, you know, preparing for a week for this. And, you know, it's a question about how can he handle it for another 4 years and be 85 years old. His cognitive capability is really questionable.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it can handle what he's doing right now, much less more. But again, do you have any thoughts on? I think people start feeling it's like you go to a ball game and you know when the score gets up to 35-0, 42-0, you start feeling bad for the other team. You're like, oh, they're getting killed, man. I wish they'd at least score once or something like that. I just wonder if there's going to be some backlash of Americans feeling sorry for Biden because we know he's going to lose this debate.
Well, look, he may feel sorry for him. Doesn't mean you send him off to the playoffs to go play in the Super Bowl, right?
That's true, yeah.
You know, if your team's losing 35-0, you don't say, well, they tried, so let's put him in the Super Bowl. So, no, it's the most vigorous job on the planet.
It's
the most consequential to our very way of life. And I think the policies and the issues are, from my vantage point, clearly on the side of Donald Trump. But, you know, look, Democrats, I think, have a better machine in terms of getting out the vote. And so it's, you know, most every poll has it neck and neck.
I think that some of the Republican, I know some of the commentators, like if you listen to Sean Hannity or Clay and Buck and some of those guys are saying, look, referring back to the early voting, we don't like it either, but right now that's the system we have and Republicans need to start playing it a little bit better. They call it a ground game. I don't know if any of them ever actually played football, but they said the Republicans need to play a better ground game and play right now. Those are the rules, play by those rules and figure out how to get some early voting for Republicans. Your thoughts?
110%. Those are the rules. I think we should fight to change the rules in the future. But you're right. Now, today, we don't want to protest and say, oh, it's not going to count anyway, or it's going to get, you know, it's all a scam. That was sort of the prevailing message in Georgia. And I think it contributed to costing Republicans 2 Senate seats and the balance of power in Washington, D.C. in a bad, bad way. So, Yeah, Donald Trump has been better at his messaging in saying, hey, folks, we got to play by the rules. We got to get out, vote early. And, you know, but the numbers so far in Utah are interesting that way. There's still a lot of people that need to vote. And you're right. Last day to vote. Get there, even though it's maybe inconvenient now. It's worth every moment to do that.
It really is. Let's take a quick call. Doug wants to ask Jason a question. Doug, go ahead, man.
Yes. Hey, thanks, Andy. And Jason, how you two doing?
Great. Thank you.
Fired up. Ready to go. What's up, Doug?
Yes. Andy, you made a statement that you said, we know that Biden's going to lose this debate. My wife kind of said the same thing. I said, wait a minute, not so fast. Biden reminds me of the guy that he's been back there in Congress for many, many, many years, and the only thing he's a professional at is arguing and debating. And I remember Paul Ryan was just like rocked back in his chair like, what? Because all Biden does is, you're a liar. Come on, man. That's not true, man. This and that. And he doesn't have to say anything that's factual or true. But I just hope that Trump can actually be really on the ball and not just get angry back at him, but just kind of, you know what I mean. We'll pray and hope for it.
Yeah,
Trump
for sure.
Wins, but Joe Biden, that's the one thing that old guy does good is argue, you know. And the million voting, I'm so scared because of when COVID came that we've morphed over to this. And unfortunately, I'm kind of the glass half full guy, have been for a while. I really don't. If Trump can win by such a huge, huge margin to overcome the cheating and all of the shenanigans that the Democrats do, we might have a chance. But it's because of that mail-in voting, not really any way to control it. I'm afraid we will probably actually lose because I believe they stole it the last time.
Well,
I'm one of those.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are concerned about that as well. as it relates to the debate and the format, hey, you know, this is where America gets to see these two going mano a mano, and it's good and it's healthy. And you know, I've kind of stated where I'm at on early voting, but you're right, you better get out and get those ballots going. You know, here's the difference. Democrats, when you ask, let me put it another way. When you ask Republicans, when is the election? They'll tell you it's November, I think it's 5th, right? November 5th?
Yeah, November 5th, yep.
And if you ask a Democrat, when's the election? They'll say, oh, it's September. Mm. Because that's the difference. They go out and get their votes in and get a bank them early and then can go target the people that they want, they need, that are high propensity voters for Democrats if they haven't submitted their ballot, and they get them in. And Republicans seem to think, oh no, the election's in November. It's not. It's in September. That's when voting starts.
Wow, that's good. That's good food for thought. I know I got to let you go. I know you got a show you got to prep for. Real quick though, on the debate, it's on CNN. CNN hosts. CNN, notoriously a liberal media. Does President Trump have a chance? Is it 3-on-1?
Yeah, you know, it's simulcast. That we have to call it the CNN debate, but you can watch it, I believe, on Fox News, and I think it'll be on the, you know, Fox 13 in Utah. I'm going to go back to New York and be part of the Shannon Bream presentation that will be on Fox 13, kind of the before and the after. So That's what I'm going to do with it. Yeah, is it tough with the moderators and no mics and all? Yeah, but I'm glad they're doing it. If Donald Trump can't handle that, he's handled far worse. He'll be fine with Jake Tapper and Dana Bash. He'll be just fine. He'll get tough questions, but, you know, the audience will decide if they also threw tough questions to Joe Biden.
All right. He's Jason Chaffetz. Jason, thanks for coming on today. Sure, it's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you.
All right. We'll see you later. 9:31 on KDXU. Brett Hall coming up after this.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. Thanks again to Jason. Yeah, Jason, when I was talking to him earlier before we went on the air, he says, I'm hosting a 3-hour radio show today. I was like, well, why are you on my show for 20 minutes then if you got your own thing? He said, well, it'll be a good warm-up. So appreciate Jason being on. Brent Hall is with me now. Hi, Brent. How you doing, man?
Hello. Doing well.
Appreciate you coming on. And, of course, I pushed the wrong button. There we go. All right. Now we can hear you.
Okay.
That's better. All right. Brent is with the Washington County Republican Party, the campaign coordinator. Now, this is pretty new, right, Brent?
Yeah. So my responsibility is to coordinate between the party and the Republican candidates.
Okay.
Right now, we only have 3 official Republican candidates. And so I want to talk about them today. First of all...
Well, everybody's going, wait, what? We have a bunch of candidates. What are you talking about? 3, though, that were officially endorsed at convention.
At the state convention, okay. Yes. But what I wanted to talk about initially is just freedom. When you look at elections, Constitution, it's all about freedom. And you look at all the freedoms we have, those come because we are free to choose our leaders. And so it's really important to participate in the election. And this primary election is especially important. Utah has become a heavily Republican state. And so this Republican primary is very important to select who our leaders are. And so the main thing I wanted to do today was talk about the difference in how those leaders are elected. I will be reading primarily from an email that was sent out by the Republican Party so that I make sure I stay on the official track.
Well, now Brent is an accountant by trade. But he promises not to be boring, right, Brent? I mean, that's the accountant reputation, right? These guys are boring. But no, you're not going to be boring.
Well, CPA stuff is pretty exciting these days. If we didn't have to deal with the IRS, it would be less exciting.
All right. So first of all, before you get reading, the 3 official candidates that were endorsed at convention are?
Phil Lyman for governor.
Okay.
Trent Staggs for U.S. Senate.
Mm-hmm.
Joanne Brinton for state school board.
Okay.
I'll give you a little more detail on that.
Let's do it.
First of all, just want to encourage everyone to be sure and vote in this primary. Well, the Republicans, to be sure and vote in this primary election. You should have received your mail-in ballot or your ballot in the mail. Right now, you have two choices to, well, three to vote. You can mail it in, but it has to be sure to have it postmarked today.
Today, yeah.
So I recommend that you drop it off. I always drop mine off either at the county building, or tomorrow you could drop it off at the Dixie Convention Center.
Right. Which is also the place you can go to vote in person.
And I'm planning to vote in person tomorrow.
Nice.
So that's the key, number one. Be sure to vote. And then I wanted to make sure that the Republicans understood the difference in some of these candidates. The candidates who won the Utah Republican Party convention are supported by our county Republican Party. They exceeded the required percentage of delegate votes, which was 60%. If one candidate gets over 60% of the delegates, then they are the Republican candidate.
So just to be clear for people for governor, everybody's like, well, we got an incumbent. He's the one the convention picked. Actually, no, Phil Lyman got more than 60%.
He got 67%.
Wow, that's
of the vote, two-thirds.
That's amazing.
Right. And Trent Staggs got 69% of the delegate vote. Joanne Brenton got 78% of the delegate vote. So they both performed very strongly. Now, just to review how this process works, there were caucus meetings on March 5th.
Mm-hmm.
Every neighborhood had a chance to come together and elect delegates to go to the county and state conventions.
Right.
So these delegates represent their neighborhoods. Then they went to Salt Lake City, and we spent 17 hours listening to speeches. Some of them were from the other congressional districts. But there's a lot of homework that goes in, and a lot of meeting with the candidates and finding out who they are and what their positions are.
So were these delegates able to personally contact, like talk?
Totally.
That's cool.
Yeah, I've talked to all three of these candidates multiple times. So let me just quote a little bit from the email from the county party. We feel strongly that these candidates will be accountable to the people of every neighborhood in their district because they look to the delegates as their future support. The people who are only on the primary ballot because they spent money to get signatures are primarily accountable to the people who gave them money. So let me explain. The people who are opposing these three Republican candidates got on the ballot because they went out and collected signatures. This takes a lot of money. So Governor Cox is only on the ballot because he collected signatures. This is a kind of a state law loophole that was put in about 10 years ago.
And I think it's worth mentioning, he didn't actually go out and collect the signatures himself. He paid someone to do that for him.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of money. And a lot of the money that comes in is from out of state. Mm. And so you ask yourself, who are these other people on the ballot accountable to? Well, the money has a lot of influence on them. Phil Lyman's money comes primarily from small donors, just normal, you know, everyday people that feel like he would be a good candidate. But the key is that these three who won the convention are accountable to every neighborhood in their district. And so when they run for reelection, and this is in the back of their head, they're going to have to come and report to delegates from every neighborhood. Now, if you out there listening want to have more influence, then be sure and go to your caucus meeting in 2 years. Help elect those delegates. Become a delegate.
Become a delegate, yeah.
Yeah, everybody is free to go. And sometimes the power people badmouth the delegates in the convention saying, oh, they're far right or this or that. Well, you know what? My experience is they haven't been. There is some spectrum of people who are in the convention, but it represents the people from every neighborhood and the values and the desire for freedom.
I read that actually in a post this morning on Facebook. Somebody said, oh, the delegates, they're all so extreme right that it doesn't really represent the people. And I thought to myself, that doesn't sound right. You know how you read something, you're like, that doesn't ring true in my brain.
No, it's not. The people who come to the caucus meeting are the ones who love freedom. They want to have a voice. And so that's where the real strength is. How much time do I have here?
We got a commercial break in about 3 minutes.
So, okay.
Yeah.
So let me just review these candidates a little bit. Phil Lyman, I'm just going to read it. We like Phil Lyman because he's a strong conservative aligned with the Republican platform and values. As a former county commissioner, he challenged the federal government as they tried to shut down roads. He's been a valued state legislator defending Southern Utah issues. Trent Staggs also is a strong conservative aligned with the Republican platform and values. He is the mayor of Riverton, Utah, with a record consistent with the Constitution. He declared as a candidate over a year ago before Mitt Romney got out of the race. Staggs has openly declared that the strength of the caucus convention system is that it makes our elected officials accountable to the people. He understands who he represents. Joanne Brinton won. Oh, I was wrong. 84% of the vote.
84, wow.
We like Joanne Brinton because she is passionately committed to strong Republican values and the Republican Party platform. She has pledged to give parents more choice and allow more local decision makings. We encourage you to vote for these true Republican candidates who will be accountable to you. And then I have some information on each person that we can cover maybe.
Yeah, just on the surface on those, you know, it's interesting, number one, that they received such overwhelming support at convention. And it's funny because there are certain people that, you know, I support so-and-so. But then they get, you know, like an endorsement from President Trump, or they win the delegation vote, the delegate vote. And they're like, that conflicts with what I already believed. And so it's been, for me, an interesting learning process. But I think some of these people are like, I don't know what to do now because I believed one way, but the convention is telling me something else. And this is going to be an interesting primary in the next, 36 hours or so.
Right.
When it's over.
And this is really bigger than just the election tomorrow. I want to encourage everybody to get involved in the caucus convention mm-hmm. system going forward. And that's where you really have the opportunity to maintain your freedom, have a voice in government, and make sure that those government officials are accountable to the people. That's the key.
Accountability. From an accountant right there telling you to be accountable. All right, we're going to take a commercial break. More with Brent Hall, Washington County Republican Party campaign coordinator, right after this.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. Tomorrow is the Republican primary, and we are heavy Republican here in Southern Utah. So that means a lot of us should be voting. Either if you want to mail in, you can. If you want to vote in person, that's at the Dixie Convention Center. I think it's what, like 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. or 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. Something like that tomorrow anyway. I love this text. Jan sent me a text that I was over 70 when I began attending caucus. I can't believe how ignorant I have been all my life and thinking only the big elections matter. It's a good text, huh, Brent?
That's very good.
Brent Hall is with me from the Washington County Republican Party, and we're talking. There were three candidates that qualified with the 60% threshold to be endorsed by the county at convention. They were Phil Lyman for governor, Trent Staggs for senator, and Joanne Brinton for the state school board for this area. You had a little more on those three, Brent?
I do. Phil Lyman is also a CPA like I am. Okay. And so I give him a couple extra points for that.
Accuracy matters to the CPA.
Well, as I listen to his town hall meetings and debate and so on, he understands how the economy works. He understands how taxes work and that we're taxed too much in Utah.
Yes, we are.
He saw the same thing I did. There was a stealth tax increase about 15, 20 years ago.
Wow.
Where they went more flat rate, but it raised taxes. And they try to cut them down a little every year, but it's not enough. And Phil understands that.
Don't get me started on taxes, man. They tax your income. They tax your house. They tax you when you spend your money. They tax when you don't spend. Yeah, taxes are tough. So that's good that you said that about Phil.
Yeah. And as a state legislator, Phil Lyman co-sponsored 65 bills focusing on property and water rights, rural health care, natural resources management. He's a strong advocate for state sovereignty, fighting against federal and special interest groups meddling Utah's land and water. His running mate is Natalie Clausen, a lawyer who sponsored the Secure Vote Utah initiative. She's a strong defender of the First Amendment and religious freedom.
Is it unusual? I think it is unusual, but maybe can you offer any kind of opinion that the incumbent governor did not get the convention's endorsement? That seems odd to me.
Well, I can't say anything bad about any other candidate.
Right. I understand.
So I can't really talk about that other than what you've personally seen. In the convention, Governor Cox, I'm not going to say anything.
Okay. Good for you, Brent. You've got to remain true to your calling there in the Republican Party.
And that's the rule, is we're not supposed to say anything negative about any candidate who's on the ballot.
Yeah, understand.
But I'm just trying to promote the ones that were selected by the convention who are accountable to the people. The other people got there because they spent a lot of money. So who do you think is going to have the influence on them?
I will say this, and this is not Brent, this is Andy talking. For the governor not to get the endorsement of the party means that some of the people in the party probably aren't very happy with the current governor, and I'll just leave it at that, and you can talk about maybe Trent Staggs a little bit.
Okay. Trent Staggs, he's the mayor of Riverton. He's a constitutional conservative, and he graduated from Bingham High, got an MBA from BYU. Oh, let's see. His BA was at the University of Utah, so he's got all the bases covered.
He's a Ute and a Cougar.
Yeah.
Woo.
And they have two children. He served a mission to Tahiti. He took an energy company public in 22. He's been the mayor or councilman in Riverton for the last 11 years. He cut taxes and regulations, rejected COVID mandates, and fought the wokeness in the public square. He is running for the U.S. Senate on a platform of smaller government, safer families, and stronger economy. So these hit pieces that are coming out against him saying he raised taxes 36 times or this or that, it lets you know that these people are worried that he might win.
The people that are writing the checks for the other candidates.
That's the big money.
The big money.
The big money is attacking Trent Staggs. So, wow. You know, where's the anti-aircraft fire the heaviest? Over the target.
That's right.
So
that's
he's
right.
been endorsed by President Donald Trump, Mark Levin, Charlie Kirk, Kerry Lake, Senator Tommy Tuberville, Representative Matt Gaetz, Vivek Ramaswamy, John Stockton, and many others. Trent went out a year ago and declared against Mitt Romney way ahead, and he's solid. I've talked to him multiple times, and he's really a solid, solid candidate.
It seems to me, and I know you can't comment on this, but John Curtis is ahead in that race. It seems like that the ultra-conservatives are splitting their vote between Wilson and Staggs, and that is actually hurting Staggs quite a bit, because if Wilson wasn't there, it'd probably be pretty close at this point.
And that's why we're encouraging Republicans to vote for Trent Staggs, because he is the only Republican candidate. The others are there because of a state law. They have not been selected by the Republican Party.
Somebody with a lot of money selected them. So, yep. All right. Let's go on to Joanna Britton now, if we can, for
okay.
a minute.
So, Joanne, I hadn't met until the county convention. She's got a lot of energy. She's very passionate. And I didn't make up my mind on that race until I got a phone call from her that really spotlighted some issues and why she was running and so on. And so I'll just tell you that from her flyer, she's currently serving as a PTA president. She's Eagle Forum chapter president, second vice president of the Washington County Republican Women. She has a degree in secondary education from BYU. Her goals are to raise the bar in education, prioritize academic excellence, defend Southern Utah values, empower parents and teachers. She feels like the state school board has gotten off track, that they're too focused on outside influences coming in, wanting to change and water down our values. Mm. And so she really wants to get in and support the values, the base that we have.
Give me that number again. She got what percent of the delegates?
84%.
That's overwhelming. I mean, that is, wow. I guess that's all I can. That means that her opponent, Kristen Norton, only got 16, because it was just the two of them, right?
Yeah.
So 16%. That is phenomenal. We don't know who's going to win, obviously, but that seems like, to me, that's a pretty overwhelming majority for Joanne Britton.
Yeah, and I'll just put a caveat in there. I thought it was 78%, but 84 was in the email that went out from the party. So either way, Joanne Britton got overwhelming support at state
pretty
convention.
Overwhelming. All right. Yeah. Obviously, there are other races, you know, that I think maybe the closest one might be Jenkins and Malloy. Neither one of those actually got enough to get the endorsement of the Republican Party. I think he said it was like 57-43 or something like that for Malloy. So she did get...
No, for...
Or for Jenkins,
For Jenkins.
So he did get the majority, he just did not get enough to actually get the party's endorsement.
And I can't comment on that at all because we're neutral.
I understand.
They both came through a convention. They're both legitimate candidates. And so people have to figure that out.
Yeah.
But the key is, please vote either today,
that's what I was
drop off,
say.
Or tomorrow in person, or drop off. But if you're going to mail it has to be postmarked today.
The drop-off spots, real quick. Hurricane City Branch Library. You can do that today, but not tomorrow, right?
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know about tomorrow. But Hurricane City Library, Santa Clara Branch Library, St. George City Branch Library, Washington City Library, and the Washington County Administration Building. Most of those even have drive-ups, although I think the Washington City Library and the Washington County Administration Building, you actually have to get out of your car
right.
to drop them off.
And I know you can drop off at the Dixie Convention Center tomorrow, and you can vote in person
vote
there.
In person.
So please vote. That's the most critical thing. That's what keeps us free, is keep those elected officials accountable.
Jason Chaffetz was very much not a fan of even drop-offs or mail-ins. He says we need to go be there in person. Do you feel the same way?
I agree. Yeah. I agree. I've only ever voted in person.
Right.
But he also, or maybe you and he were talking about how those are the rules, so the Republicans are starting to say, hey, if it's the rule, let's get out and vote and then get the rest of the people out.
Yeah.
So, but if they can change it, that would be better.
I guess the county will be running the election counting and everything. And do you have any idea when we might start feeling? Polls close at, is it 6 or 8? I can't remember. We can look at that up.
8 p.m.
It is 8. Okay.
8 p.m. tomorrow.
So we probably won't be getting any real results till after 8 o'clock tomorrow night. And again, with Washington County and Utah in general being very conservative, the Republican primary most times is going to be the winner of the Republican primary will be the winner of the general election in November.
Could I say one more thing about
sure.
Phil Lyman? So to me, this is the most important race because the governor really is the key to run policy in the state, to resist federal control. Mm-hmm. And so Phil Lyman's key policy priorities are make the economy work for Utah families, use the principles of free markets, limited regulation, and low taxes to make homes affordable again, commit to reducing the size of government, pushing back against federal overreach, and empowering county government, enact meaningful tax cuts that will ease Utah's tax burden, get the woke agenda out of our schools, return schools to their traditional role of teaching foundational academics, protect all our children from the woke agenda, and get illegal immigration under control. And I hear your theme coming on.
That means it's time.
That's great, Andy. Thank you
Brent,
very much.
Thanks for coming on today. Very good information. Again, it's very important. As Jason said, as Brent says, as I say, the number one thing is get out and vote. Thank you, Brent.
Thanks, Andy.
Be back tomorrow. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Andy.